I just want to say hello to everyone, and I'm honored that Victor asked me to speak to all of you. I'm just so touched that all of you would, after a whole day of learning and now Davening Meyer, have come on. So I hope that we'll be able to be inspired together. I would just like to begin by telling you, all of you, a very interesting story that has a very adorable punchline, but I think has a very, very important message to all of us. All of you are certainly familiar with the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, the Ponovezhe Yeshiva, and many, many years ago, the Mashkiach of the yeshiva was a very big tzaddik. His name was Rav Chatzka Levenstein, and some of you may have seen the svarim that were written on his shmuzin, and they are called Or Yecheskel. What happened was that one day he was with a Talmud of his, and he went into a taxi in Eretz Yisrael in Bnei Brak, and the driver, the Israeli fellow, was not a religious fellow, but he took one look at this rabbi, and he realized that this rabbi must be some holy Jew. And so he turned to him, and he said to him, Rabbi, would you mind if I told you a story? And he said, no, of course, that, you know, that would be fine. Now, obviously, the cab driver didn't speak Yiddish. He spoke to him in Hebrew. And the rabbi said, fine, I'm ready to listen. And the fellow said to him, Rabbi, I want you to know that my friends and I, we just finished our tour of duty with the IDF. We were in the Israeli army for a number of years, and we decided that we wanted to chill out. And we were going to go on a vacation in a place that we had never been before. And so we decided that we were going to go to South Africa. We found out that the safaris were safe, and we went. And for 3 days, everything was just wonderful. We had gone to places that we had never been to before, and we had this guide, and everything was great. And one day we were sitting around schmoozing, and one guy said, you know, I think I'm going to go out and I'm going to investigate on my own. And we said to him, what, are you crazy? You know, it's dangerous out there. You know, when you go with a guide, you know, that's fine. But you're going to go on your own? And he said, don't worry, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. And he was out there maybe 2 minutes. And all of a sudden, we heard him yelling and screaming. And we didn't know what in the world happened to him. And we ran in the direction that we thought he was. And there we saw him. And we saw the most frightening thing. It looked like a snake, like a boa constrictor, a huge rattlesnake had wrapped itself around him and was crushing him to death. And he was crying and screaming. He was terrified. And he had no way of getting out of this clutches of that the snake had around him. And we didn't know what to do. We took rocks. We started throwing it at the snake, and it just didn't help. And we took branches off a tree, and we started smacking it, and nothing helped. And he says, Rabbi, none of us were religious, but we all knew Shema Yisrael. And we said to him, say Shema Yisrael, you're going to die. You're going to die. And he started crying, and he screamed, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he said, Rabbi, I'm telling you, like a miracle, the second that he said the word Echad, the snake released its hold on him. He released the hold and he fell to the ground, the snake did, and he just slithered away. And the rabbi said, well, that's amazing. So what happened to that guy? He said, what happened to him? What do you mean? The next morning he put on tefillin and he became religious. And when we came back to Israel, he became religious. His wife became religious. His children, they all became religious. And the rabbi said to the cab driver, he said, and what about you? He said, Rabbi, the snake wasn't wrapped around me. Now, of course, that was the dumbest answer that he could have given. What do you mean the snake wasn't wrapped around him? He saw an open miracle. The second that he said, Echad, that the snake loosened its hold on him and let him go. But of course, that's what the koyach of the Yetzer Hara is. The Yetzer Hara is telling the guy, well, it didn't happen to you, so, you know, you don't have to react. And of course, you know, the rabbi realized that obviously the guy didn't take it seriously. But the point is, the reason that I tell you this story is that COVID-19 actually wrapped itself around every single one of us. There's not one amongst us tonight that doesn't know people who died. And everyone knows Nebuch, people that were sick. And some that are still on respirators and ventilators and certainly need our Tehillim. So I hope that every one of you was not affected by death, chas v'shalom, in your family or illness. But one thing is for sure, we were all affected, either socially, financially, and certainly emotionally. And the question is, when we come now, as we come to Purim, and we realize that it's been a year already since this terrible, terrible event of COVID-19, and we've all been affected, how do we react? And of course, none of us, unless we had the wisdom of a Navi, like Daniel, Yirmiyah, Yeshayah, Yechezkel, none of us can say why Hashem made this all happen. But one thing is for sure, every single one of us has to react in a certain way, right? After all, we are B'nai Torah. And all of you tonight came after you were learning a whole day and davening Ma'ariv. So we are B'nai Torah. So therefore, as a B'nai Torah, we have to react and we have to think, what is the way that we should all respond? And I think that if we are indeed B'nai Torah, we have to respond in certain ways. And I would tell you what I think is the first way that a B'nai Torah has to respond. We know that in the Megillah, there's a very interesting pasuk. And the pasuk tells us, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. In other words, that there was now a new Kabbalah of Torah. That's what the pasuk is telling us. Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu mashekiblu kvar. Now, my Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, and the reason that I want to say this word is not only because I think that it's brilliant, but that it should be a schus. Last week, unfortunately, he was rushed to the hospital. Baruch Hashem, now he's home. But David ben Esther Malka should have a refuah shleima, and the schus of what we are saying now should be a schus for him. The Divrei Torah should be a refuah for him. And he asked a very interesting question. We all know that the pasuk tells us in Shema Yisrael Tes Pasuk Beis, Vayichan Shom Yisrael. Klal Yisrael rested there, Neged Ahor, by Har Sinai. And we all know that the Mefarshim asked the question, why does it say Vayichan Loshen Yochid? It should have said Vayachanu, they rested. After all, there were multitudes that were there. And of course, Rashi gives us the answer. And he says, Vayichan, it was Ke'ish Echod, they all had unity. They were all there for each other. They all cared for each other. They all loved each other. And it was only because that there was such achdus that that's why the Torah was able to be given. Vayichan, loshen yochid, ki ish echad b'lev echad. And if that's the case, so my Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, asked the question, where do we see that there was achdus over here by the Purim story? If Kimu v'kiblu, they were makabel v'teira as they once did before. Kimu mashekiblu kvar. So where do we see the idea of the achdus? And he said something that is absolutely fascinating. And if you take a look in the Megillas Esther, Perik Tes, Pasuk Chav Zayin, you're going to see something amazing. We say and we read the word kiblu, but really it only says kibel. Kibel is Lashon Yachid, but we read it with the Shura, Kiblu. And so therefore, that's what Rav David Cohen says. That's what it shows us in the Megillah, that at the time of Purim, there was also a unity. Kimu v'kibel, Lashon Yachid, because they had that Achdos. And because if we can only learn this idea of Achdos, then hopefully, just as it says in the Megillah, v'nahapachu, again in Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, it tells us there was a complete turnaround. The Jews thought, how could it possibly be that we would be able to be victorious over the Goyim? But v'nahapachu, and if then it happened v'nahapachu, we could have hope. Hashem could do anything, that once again it could be v'nahapachu. But we certainly need that achdos, because just like Klal Yisrael was able to be makabel the Torah because they had achdos, if we want to have a new, renewed Kabbalah Satorah, it also has to be with an achdos. Now, I want to tell you something very interesting, a beautiful little story, because after all, if we're talking about Kabbalah Satira, let's hear something that really could have an effect on each and every one of us. This story was told to me by the person himself to whom the story happened. It happened many years ago in England. This person at that time was a 10-year-old boy, and he was learning in a yeshiva in the northern part of England. And one day, he took a walk with his Rebbe, and they walked into a forest, into a beautiful forest. And it was in the autumn, and I don't have to tell you, all of you that are in New York, and you all know autumn is gorgeous. You drive on the Garden State Parkway, on the Taconic State Parkway. It's the most beautiful time to drive up there because you see all the leaves, they're orange and red and yellow and green. It's just magnificent. And as he was walking with his Rebbe, a leaf came off the table, came off the tree, and it fell on a bench that was there in that park in the forest. And the Rebbe picked up that little leaf, and he said to his Talmud, look, take a look at this leaf. This leaf thinks that it's free. It believes that it could fly wherever it wants, but it doesn't realize that in a few days, he's going to wither and die. You know why? Because he's no longer connected to the source of life, to that tree. So it flew off the tree, and it thinks that it's free. He said, but my child, I want to tell you something. As you get older, you're going to meet all kinds of Jews, and you're going to see, and some Jews are going to say to you, I'm a free man. I could eat what I want. I could drive when I want. I could watch what I want. I could do whatever I want. I'm a free man. And it doesn't realize that because they think they're free and they're no longer connected to the source, which is the Torah, it's only a matter of time until they die a spiritual death. The only way that they could continue having that spiritual life is they are connected to that source of life. And what is that source of life? That's the Torah itself. And all of you as B'nai Torah, you understand that. That's the Eitz Chaim HaMachzikim Bo. And you know who that little boy was? You all know his name. He was, and he is, Rav Matisyo Solomon, the Mashkiach of Lakewood. He should have a Refuah Shlema Matisyo Chaim Ben Etel. And I remember when he told me the story a couple of years ago, I asked him, do you remember who that Rebbe was? He said, I don't remember anymore. But what a great lesson. All of us, as we grow and we gain our self-esteem and we feel that we can do whatever we want, but we always have to remember that we always have to be connected to that Eitz Chaim. And that Eitz Chaim, of course, Eitz Chaim Hilamal Zikimbo, that's what the Mishnah in Avos tells us. And that's the Mishnah, of course, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Zion. Now, I want to tell you something. You must all remember just a few years ago, we all learned a new word. We never heard this word before, but all of a sudden now it became a very, very powerful word, and that's the word tsunami. Now, many of you certainly remember there was only a couple years ago in Asia when there were people that were standing and sitting on the beachfront, and all of a sudden this tremendous wave came, and the wave unfortunately flooded the areas, and so many, many people, Nebuch, lost their lives. And there were people that were standing at the beachfront, and they saw the wave coming, and they tried to run to the hotels, and they couldn't make it on time. But there was one guy, who when he saw that wave coming, he understood that there's no way he's going to make it to the hotel. Now, we have videos of that. And they showed this video, and I'm going to explain it to you in a second. This guy had the foresight to realize that there's no way he can make it to the hotel on before the wave gets there. So what he did was, there was a tremendous tall tree, and he started climbing up that tree because he realized that the wave was only a certain amount of height. And if he could get on top of that tree, near that tree, and hold on to that tree, and hopefully the wave wouldn't knock down the tree, he could be saved. And you know something? He was saved. And there was a fabulous picture of this guy holding onto the tree for dear life. until that wave abated and he was able to come down. But I want to show you something. All of you know the name Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He was the main Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. And he wrote a commentary on that Mishnah that we just quoted about Eitz Chaim Hilam al Zikim Bo. Now listen to what he said. In the Sefer Ruach Chaim in Ovois Perik Vav Mishnah Zayin. And he writes like this. On that Mishnah, Eitz Chaim, he writes, Ki Ha'olam, what is this world all about? Yam Zoyef, it's a raging sea. The Galov Soyarim, and the waves are storming. Lahadbiya, to sink us. B'metzulois ha'tayvois, in the ambitions and the desires that we all have. Ahaboli notel, but somebody that wants to be saved from those terrible waves, Yoichaz be'etz ha'chaim, he should hold on to the tree of life, and that's the Torah. V'hi atavlin li'etz ha'ara. What is the medication for the Yetz ha'ara? That's the Torah itself. V'ha'porish mimena, but somebody who separates from Torah, ki porish mechaim. It's like he's separating from life. Ki heim chayenu, because the Torah is our life. And all of you guys that spent the whole day learning and you waited up till 10:30 after your learning and after Ma'ariv to come to this talk, I wish I could see and just shake your hand of each and every one of you. Because as B'nai Torah, you have an appreciation what Rav Chaim Volozhiner is saying, that when you hold on to the tree, that's the tree of life. And that's how we can get saved. But I want to tell you something amazing. All of you, obviously, in this yeshiva, you're in the yeshiva that's called Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. And I want to tell you one of the greatest insights that I ever heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector. Now, he's buried in Kovna. That's in Lithuania. And I have had the great schus. I wish that one day we could do this together, but in COVID, who's traveling? Nobody's traveling anyplace. But every year in the last couple of years, since 2003, I've taken people to various places where Yiddishkeit flourished. We've gone to Poland many times, to Lithuania, to Spain, to Frankfurt, Prague, and Vienna, and Morocco. And one year we went to the Ukraine and we were in Uman for a Shabbos. And we've been to many, many different places. But when we came to Kovna, and we were at the kever of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan that your yeshiva is named for, I said over this thing, and it just happens to be that it was in the past week's parsha. And if you take a look at it, the pasuk is incredible. It's in Shemois Chofei Pasuk Chof, and it says like this. It's talking about the Kruvim. And Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, let's watch the pasuk. V'hoyu ha-Kruvim, Persei Kenafayim Lamaila. The Kruvim, they had wings that spread towards heaven, towards upward, going upward. And it covered the Arayin, it covered the cover of the Arayin. Upineyem, but we know that there were two faces. There was a face of a little boy and a little girl. Upineyem ishel ochiv. So on one hand, the wings faced upward, stretching upward, but the faces were towards each other. And he said, we learn a tremendous lesson from here. He says, you know what that lesson is? That on one hand, we're supposed to be Himmel mention, heaven people. We spread our hands in Torah and Tefillah to Hashem when we daven. But we must never forget, Upneya Mishalachiv. We've got to have a love and a care for each and every one of ourselves. That's what Avas Yisrael is all about. And there are three loves that we are all supposed to have. The Avas Hashem, Avas HaTorah, and Avas Yisrael. And that's what your yeshiva stands for. It's named after Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, who understood that it's not just what learning is all about, but there's also Avas Yisrael, and there's unity. And that's when, as we come to Purim, my son once said a tremendous thing. He was a little boy when he said it. Today, Baruch Hashem, he's a Rebbe in Waterbury, in the Beis Medrash there. But when he was a kid, before his bar mitzvah, he said something, it was so striking to me. We all, and you can all repeat it at the Purim Suda, Umishloyach Manais Ish L'Rei Ehu. We all know that pasuk in the Megillah. And he said the word Ish is Begamatria 311, And Lirayehu, to your friend, is also Begamatria 311. And he said, that's a remes for Vihafta Lireacha Gamaicha, that the Ish and the Lirayehu, you and the other friend, you're equal. You have to love that person. You have to care for that person. And if that's the case, as we approach Purim, as we're going to talk about in a moment, it's not only the Ruchnias Ben Adam LaMakim, but the Ben Adam LaChavera is just as important. And I want to tell you now three stories. One is greater than the other. The third one is out of this world. And you'll all be able to repeat this at the Suda and ask the question, as you will hear it in a moment, which is fascinating. But we all know, certainly most of you certainly know, that just a few weeks ago, one of the Gedolei Hador passed away, Rav David Feinstein. Rav David Feinstein was the type of Rav that any Shaila, that any person had, they could ask him. And many Rabbonim throughout the country and maybe even throughout the world, if they were afraid to paskin on certain Shailas, they would call Rav David and he would be able to give an answer. Now, I am a Mayel, many of you know that, and I had many occasions where I was the Mayel, where Rav David was Sandik, we had the Bris and Tiferes Yerushalayim. But I can't really say that I knew him well. So certainly when he passed away, I was very interested to listen to all the Hespedim, to all the eulogies, because I wanted to find out about him. And then when the Shloshim came, the 30-day period of mourning was over, but there were many different places that wanted to have speakers that would speak about Rav David. So where I live here in Queens, in Kew Gardens, in Kew Garden Hills, there's a girls' high school. It's called Shelah High School. And my wife is the Hebrew principal. And they asked that I should come on the Shloshim to speak about Rav David. So, of course, I did research about him. And then I found out that not only was he a gadol in Torah, but he was a gadol in Midas. And I always say that about Rav Heschel Schechter, one of your Rosh Hashivas. As great as he is in learning, you know, that's how great he is in Midas. And I love those kind of people. And what happened is that I found out certain stories about him that was so magnificent. Listen to these stories. The first story that I told over was, it happened Rosh Hashanah in Tiferes Yerushalayim. There must have been 200-300 people davening in shul. And there was a young guy there, and his wife walked in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah with the baby. I guess she wanted to hear shofar, but she needed a place to take care of the baby. She needed a private place. So this young fellow, her husband, he went over to Rav David Feinstein in the middle of laning, and he said, Rosh Hashiva, my wife is here with the baby, and she has to take care of the baby. She needs a private place. Could we borrow the key to your office so that she could go in? I'm going to stay here for laning, but she'll go in and take care of the baby. And Rav David said, yeah, sure. And he gave her the key. It was no problem. Fine. Now, after laning, we all know that after laning is Shefa, and the Olam was saying Lam Natzeach seven times. And then they were going to get ready to say the Psukim that you say before Tkiya Shefer. And the Baal Tekeah was going to get ready to lead the Olam and the Psukim and then to blow Shefer. Now, Rav David is not the Baal Tekeah, but Rav David was the one, he was the Makri. He was the one who called out the Kolos. So after they said Lam Natzeach seven times, the fellow who was the Baal Tekeah, he was going to start saying the Psukim. Rav David said, wait a second, just wait. And he's looking around. Nobody knows who he's looking for. He's looking around. There's a Beis Medrash. They have hundreds of people. And finally, he sees that young man who came over to borrow the key. And he calls him over. And once he calls him over, once he comes over, he says to him quietly, is your wife finished in the office? And the guy says, yeah. So he turns to the Baal Tekeah. He says, now you can say the Psukim. There's 300 people in the Beis Medrash. And Rav David Feinstein, the Gadol HaDor, what's he worried about? That woman who came to listen to Shefer, if she's still in there with the baby, she's going to have a problem. How's she going to hear Tzkiya Shefer? So that's what he's thinking about. That's the Pnei Mishal Ochiv. That's the Ben Adam Machaveray. That's the Adam Gadol that's paskening for the whole world. But there's one woman there with a baby that might not hear Tzkiya Shefer, and therefore, that's what he's concerned about. That's what we're talking about. That's what part of Purim is all about. As Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said, it's not only the wings towards heaven, but it's the Pnei Mishalochim. Here's the second story. The second story was about Ma'ariv time. just like you guys just finished Davening Maariv. So a guy comes in Tiferes Yerushalayim. It's about right almost 10 o'clock. That's when they're going to Daven Maariv. And he goes over to Rav David and he says, Rav Shira, I have a very complicated shaila to ask. Could I ask it right after Maariv? Would that be okay? And Rav David says, yeah, of course. And then Rav David looks at his clock and he sees, oh, it's a minute till Maariv. Why don't you begin asking me the shaila? I was kind of surprised. He knew he couldn't get the whole shaila, and he told him that it was complicated. But the Roshiva said he should start asking. So he started asking the shaila. And then after about a minute, not even that, somebody else, Vahu Racham. So they both had to stop talking, and they both davened Maariv. After they davened Maariv, so the fellow comes over. He says, Roshiva, can I ask the question? He says, yeah, of course. And he asks him the question. And after Rav David thinks about it for a moment, he gives him the answer, and the guy's very happy. But before he leaves, he says, Rav Shiva, can I just ask you a question, if you don't mind? You knew very well that we had only 1 minute before Maariv. Why did you want me to begin asking you the question? You knew very well that I told you it was complicated. There was no way that I could finish the whole question before Maariv. Listen to what Rav David said. It's amazing. He said, you said it was a complicated shaila. Now, I knew that in Shemoneh Esra, I would be davening Ata Chayinin Liyodav Das. Hashem, please give me the wisdom. So I wanted to daven with specific kavona to ask Hashem to give me the daya, the wisdom, that I should be able to answer your shaila. And so if I wanted to know what topic you were talking to me about, or you were going to talk to me about, so that I could ask Hashem that he should give me the wisdom in that topic, that I should be able to answer that shaila. You could go crazy from that. Rav David, by that time, surely had answered 10,000 shailas in his life. But this guy said it was a complicated shaila. And he's going to daven Shemoneh Esra, Ata Chayinin Liyodav Das. Oh, so I have to daven with special kavana. First of all, it shows us what davening is all about. How a person has to be so careful and think about everything that he's saying. And look at that, Ben Adam L'Chaveray. He's davening an extra time that he should be able to answer the shaila perfectly. That's incredible. But to me, this third story, and then I'm going to tell you another one later, but this third story about Rav David is just, to me, this is the greatest. There's a guy in Brooklyn. His name is Ari Hirsch. And he's got one of these country yussy type of newspapers. It's not a very serious paper, but it's like a family paper. And every once in a while, he will pick out 50 public people. He'll pick out speakers, musicians, Rosh Hashivas, Rabbonim, whatever, Askanim, whatever, different people. He'll ask them the same question. And then a few weeks later, he's going to print the answer, and everybody can see this different answers to the same question. It's always very interesting. So a couple of years ago, I was one of the guys that he asked the question, and it turned out that one of the 50 people that he asked was also Rav David Feinstein. I didn't know that in the beginning. And what was the question? And I'm telling you, this is such a great question that you could ask it at your Purim Suda, and you'll see everybody will have different answers. And I only wish that I could hear all of you in person, because if some of you would give me great answers, I'd use it in my next speech, because I love this question. Listen to this question. Think about what you would answer. The question is, if you had the opportunity to invite any three people from Adam HaRishon till today, 2021, you could invite three people to your house for dinner, for supper, who would you invite? Any three people. I thought that was an interesting question. So, Avigdor, I don't know what you would say. What would you say there, Avigdor? You got an answer? Which three people you would invite? I don't know if he's muted, but okay.
I'm huh? That's a tough question.
Who'd you say?
I think Avraham Avinu.
Yeah.
Probably Yitzchak Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, fine. All right. So everybody's got some answers. I'll tell you what I said. I said David HaMelech. I mean, David HaMelech went through all of life's experiences. Anything you wanted to know about life, he would be able to answer. To me, Rashi. I would love to meet Rashi. To me, I mean, he knew all the Rashis, right? He knew everything. He wrote them, right? He called out Tera Kula and Mishnayas and then Shas, whatever you want. Rashi wrote on. So anything you wanted to know, you could ask Rashi. And the third one was Rav Chaim Oizer. Rav Chaim Oizer Gozinski, he was the Gadol Hador in Vilna, and the Chabad Chaim was the Gadol Hador in Poland. And they, to me, he was like the Zaidi of Klal Yisrael, or whatever. Now, a couple weeks later, after he asked these questions, he called me up, the author, the editor, and he said, you know, I'm going to print all the answers this week. I couldn't hold myself back. I said to him, you got to tell me, who gave the best answer? He said, the best answer was given by Rav David Feinstein. I said, really? You asked Rav David Feinstein this question? He said, yeah. You know what Rav David Feinstein said? You won't believe it. He said, if he could invite any three people to dinner, he would invite three poor people. How do you like that? Three poor people. 49 out of 50 people, including me, were thinking, oh, who would I have to my house? Man, if I had Rashi in my house, I'd have all the videographers here. I'd have all the cameras here if David HaMelech was coming to my house, because I was thinking about myself. Rav David wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking how he could help somebody else. That's Pnei HaMishalachiv. That's what Purim is all about. And I'll tell you one more amazing story about Benoda Lachaveri, and then we're going to talk something very fascinating about Purim. You know, this story was told to me just a few weeks ago by the woman to whom it happened. She's a frum lady, a dermatologist, married with four children, Baruch Hashem. This story happened 30 years ago. It's unbelievable. She was living in Florida with her parents, and her parents made Aliyah. So she decided she's going to move to New York, and she's going to move in with a frum friend. I think she moved in to the West Side someplace. And she figured she'll get a shidduch here in New York better than Florida. And, you know, she's going to medical school. As I told you, she's a dermatologist. And she figured, you know, she'll have a better opportunity to get a job here in New York. Now, this is 30 years ago. So 2 months, less than 2 months, after she came to New York, she became a kala. She met somebody from Beis Medrash Gevaya in Lakewood, and she became a kala. 2 weeks after she becomes a kala, she decides, you know what? I'm going to go to Lakewood. I'll be there for Shabbos. I'll be there with Mechassan. Now, it was before the internet 30 years ago, so she couldn't just go online and find out, you know, the bus schedule. So she had to call Port Authority. I don't have to tell you until you can get through to Port Authority. And she found out what buses she must get to on time on Friday in Port Authority to make it on time to Lakewood. Now, she was from Florida. She didn't know the train system, so she got lost. And by the time she made her way to Penn Station on Port Authority, I don't have to tell you, if you've been there, and I'm sure most of you have been there, so many trains, so many buses, you can go crazy trying to figure out everything, all the elevators and the stairwells and everything. She finally comes to where they're selling the tickets to go to Lakewood, to go to New Jersey, and there's such a long line, and this is the last bus that she can make that's going to get her there on time. And she's looking around, she's thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? This is crazy. She can't get on that bus. There's so many people ahead of her online. All of a sudden, the frum guy comes over, and he says to her, excuse me, are you going to Lakewood? She says, yeah. He says, well, here's a ticket. Get on the bus. She says, what do you mean, here's a ticket? Well, where did you get this ticket? He says, well, I got my own ticket. Here, take a look. This is an extra ticket. She said, where'd you get the extra ticket? He said, you see, I have children in Lakewood. And when I go on Fridays to see my kids, especially if I'm making a late bus, I always buy an extra ticket. So in case I see a frum person online and it's a very long line and how are they going to get on the bus on time, I buy an extra ticket. She said, you do that every week? He said, no, only when I'm going on the late bus. And I'm afraid that maybe somebody's not going to be able to get on the bus and make it there on time. She said, I can't believe it. I want to pay you. Nah, you don't, I wouldn't take any money. She said, well, can I thank you? Who are you? What's your name? Are you Mr. Rabbi? She says, my name is Greenwald. That's what he says. You can call me Ronnie. That's what everybody calls me. Now, I don't know if any of you knew Ronnie Greenwald. A book is going to come out about him eventually. But he was the greatest Baal Chesed. He was very close to Sharansky. He was the one who helped get Sharansky out of Russia. And he had so many chassadim that he did. Imagine that's what a person is thinking. It's unbelievable. That's Pnei HaMishalachim. And I want to tell you something. As we come to Purim, I think that we have to learn this Rambam together. And it's the Rambam Hilchos Megillah, Perik Beis, Halacha Yud Zayin. And listen to what he tells us. And I think that it's so important, especially this year, because we know how many people, Nebuch, have been affected financially because of COVID. Listen to what the Rambam says. Mutav la'odom laharbois b'matonitz avyonim melaharbois b'sudosei b'shleachmonis. It's more important to give tzedakah to poor people than to make yourself a fancy suit on Purim and give shalachmonis to your friends. She'ein shom simcha gedoyla u'mufa'orot. There's no greater simcha el sameach aniyim v'yesoimim v'almonis, to help those that are unfortunate, the poor, the yesoimim, the yesoimis, the widows, the single moms and the single dads who don't have maybe the money that some of us have. We've got to think about them. And I'm telling you, I feel the fiyani is dati akotan. Of course you have to do shalach monas. But this year, after COVID, I think, especially this year, it's Friday, there's not going to be that many, much time to go around shalach monas. You got to do shalach monas, that's the halacha. But this is the year to concentrate on matanas lev yayinim. This is the year that we should be giving more tzedakah to poor people than we ever gave before. Not only because the Rambam tells us that's the greatest simcha, and that's what Hashem wants to see, and he writes it in Hilchos Megillah, as we said, and you could look it up. But the idea is that this year, we have to think about those people that are alone, and those people who have not had jobs, and those people who are trying to support families and can't do it. This is what the Rambam is talking about. If the Rambam was here today, he would underline what he wrote and make sure that it gets out to everyone and everybody sees it. Mutav la'odom laharbois b'matonis av yainim melaharbois b'sudosai u'b'shloach monas l'reyav. He's not telling you not to give shalach monas. Of course, you got to. That's the halacha. B'shloach monas yishroriyehu. But let's try to be a little bit more careful. And I'm going to show you something now. And you're going to see something amazing. Now, again, I feel so bad that we're not personally in front of each other, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to hear your answer. But in Parshas Kisiso, when we read Parshas Shkolim just a few weeks ago, take a look at this word. You see this word, Vinosnu? You see anything unusual about the word Vinosnu? Let's see. Who's there? I have to see. Stephen, tell me, what's unusual about Vinosnu?
It's a palindrome.
That's right. It's a palindrome. You're right. It's a palindrome, like mom, pop, radar. David, Yishai. I don't know why David and Yishai, a father and a son, are palindromes or whatever. But you know something? Take a look at Parshas Kisiso. You're going to see an amazing thing. Shmois Lamed Posik Yud Beis. You know what the Baal HaTurim says? Why is Vinosnu a palindrome? He says, because when you give to somebody else, you're not going to be losing anything. Hashem's going to make sure you get back. You give of your heart. You give of your friendship. You give of your time. You give of your talent. He says, in particular, Enelam Afreya, if you read it backwards, it's also Vinosnu. The Baal HaTurim says it in Perik Lamed Pasuk Yud Beis. Loy Malach, to tell you, Masha Odom Noisim L'Tzedakah, that which you give to Tzedakah, Yachzer Elov, it's coming back to you. You're not going to be missing anything. Now, I know it's late and you guys have been up since early morning. I'll just tell you this story and then maybe we'll end with a great thought. You know, in Flatbush, 2-3 years ago, there was a guy, young fellow, who made a Sudas Haidor. A Sudas Haidor means like a thank you, gratitude party to Hashem. He invited all his family and friends. And at the Sudas Haidor, he told this story. He said he grew up on Flatbush, him and his friends, and they all went to the same high school. They all got married at the same time, and now they all still live in Flatbush, all of them, families with children and everything. And he says like this, every year we go down to Orlando, and we rent a condominium. We go down the winter break, and there's a private pool there in the condominium. And, for our apartment, and there's an arcade room, and we all go together. He said, this past year, we were all down there, and one morning, the women, the wives, decided they're going to go shopping. So the guys figured, okay, listen, they're going shopping and we'll take the kids swimming. And we all went swimming. We went swimming with the kids. You know, after a half hour, then we went upstairs and the kids stayed down in the arcade room. And then while my 8-year-old was in the arcade room, he realized that the 2-year-old, his 2-year-old brother's missing. And he looks outside and he sees the door is open to the backyard where the pool is. And he instinctively runs out and he sees Hashem Yerachem, the baby is in the pool face down. And he runs inside and he's screaming, my baby's in the pool. It just happened. The father who's telling the story, it just happened that one of the four guys that went down with us, the same, we all go down every year. He's the only guy who's a Hatzalah member. He's the only guy who knew CPR. And what happened was he ran. He was coming downstairs just to check on the kids. When he heard that, he ran outside, jumped into the pool, took the kid out of the pool, laid him out on the ground, did CPR. Mamash brought him back to life. He said, I shouldn't make a suicide door. It could have been any one of us who went down there to check on the kids. Oh, if we heard it, we couldn't do anything. He was the guy who went down, and he was the guy who knew CPR was from Hatzalah. I shouldn't make a suicide door. Now, when he finished speaking, the wife of the Hatzalah member got up, and she said, now I want to speak. Nobody could believe it. What do you mean? What is she going to say? Listen to what she says. You'll never forget this. She said, we were not supposed to go this year. We couldn't afford it. We had a very difficult year in business. We didn't even tell anybody that we weren't going to go. I don't know how that guy found out about it, that father. But he called us up and he said, what do you mean you're not coming? We're like brothers and sisters, all the four families together. We go every year together. I'm paying for you and your husband and your four kids. And that's what he did. He bought six airline tickets so that we should all be able to come down. And he thought he was doing us the biggest favor because he was paying for us to come down. Turned out he was doing himself the biggest favor. You know why? Because he brought down the Hatzalah guy that saved his son's life. That's Venosno. That's what we have to remember this year, Purim. Of course, Kruvim, as we said, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, the one that Yo Yeshiva is named for, Person Lamaila Avada, no question, Kimu V'Kiblu, Eitz Chaim Hila Machzikim, but we have to hold on to the Torah, and all of you are B'nai Torah, coming so late to a shir. I'm telling you, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I wish I could hug every single one of you guys, because I'm so proud that you would come 11 o'clock at night, you still want to hear Torah. It's unbelievable. But that's what it's all about. It's not only been Adam L'Mokim, it's been Adam L'Chavera. That's really what it's all about. And again, I just want to give all of you guys a bracha. Hashem should bench every single one of you. You should have a Freilich and Yantav, a Freilich and Purim. And just let's remember, Baruch Hashem, you're in a yeshiva. You're able to learn. You're able to grow. You're able to accomplish. That's so great. That's really what we're created for. And look in the environment that you're in. I see the guys in the Beis Medrash. I've had the schus to do brisin in that Beis Medrash where you're sitting now. And I hope that one day we can meet personally. But meanwhile, Avigdor, I just want to thank you again for inviting me. I thank all you guys for listening. And I hope that once COVID is over, that we'll be able to meet personally. Meanwhile, again, have a Freilich and Purim and be Mekayim all the mitzvahs and just be a pride to your families and to Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much.